Money Control has been extensively covering all the news stories in the run-up to Budget 2020. We will continue to present the biggest and best stories before and after the budget with the help of top economists, experts and analysts. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com or download the app now.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to the Tech Mate podcast where we get you the top news and developments from the world of technology. Today, joining me in a very special episode on how you should be protecting your data or how you should be saving yourself from being defrauded online, I have Vishal Jain with me, partner at Deloitte India, who's going to tell you how you can exactly do what I just said. Welcome to the show, Vishal.
Thanks. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Vishal, let's begin with, a lot of people are on making payments rather online and they are using their e-wallets. Now, I've been watching a Netflix series called Jamtara where, this was some time back where kids from there were making phone calls to citizens across the country. Asking them for their card details, taking their CVV numbers, expiry date, then making payments, even taking the code for their payment and, purchasing things deliberately. I mean, where a customer or ordinary citizen is deliberately giving his details away. I'm sure that has stopped and these cyber criminals or these criminals have moved on. And they have found many more enhanced ways to defraud people. Can you give us a background on this?
Okay, so it's quite interesting. And even I came across the Netflix series which you are talking about. In fact, I have not watched it. But that's a very popular people who are in the cyberspace and the digital frauds. And most of the experts, they are aware of this type of crime. And I think... Till the time we catch them or we find them, doesn't mean that it is located in one place. Well, there could be some cases attached to one, but there are across the world. Let me put it this way. It's not one city or one location because the moment you are online, you don't have a geographical boundary.
Right.
So the guy can be sitting in the next room. You
right.
never know who's
yes.
talking to you. So that is the world where we are living. Interesting that all these technologies, if you see, the features were more to facilitate and ease our simplicity of dealing with the day-to-day transaction.
Right.
And there are pros and cons, obviously. So when there is one part when these companies, e-wallets or online transaction, e-commerce company, mm-hmm. they all came with a thought process to, ease our buying pattern or give her more customized services, better deals.
Right.
And especially if you see the e-commerce, I think, a couple of years back, the study was that they are more prominent in the tier 2 cities also, which came across.
Right.
The reason was that there are certain products which you may not find in some of the cities mm-hmm. where you will find on these e-commerce sites, so you can get it delivered much easily. And that's where this is the positive part of it.
Right.
But then obviously every coin has two sides and there are the other people of the side where you do it. Now, here very interestingly, technology has grown very rapidly. The behavior takes time to change.
Right.
So, when you marry the high-end tech part of it
mm-hmm.
and the loopholes of the positive technology part of it, and you will say the technology can also be used in doing certain crimes or stuff, but the behavior and you're touching the lack of awareness or ignorance of an individual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
When you combine these two and these fraud happens typically. Now, in this case, the example which you gave, if you see people when they call all this, you get a call and you will definitely get a call saying, I'm calling from this particular bank and I'm here to validate your debit card, credit card. It's going to expire, all those stuff.
Right.
Definitely, they have done their homework of, which card you have and what data and when it's going to expire. And I don't want to get into that detail because if you really want to do, it's not so difficult, but it's not so easy also. But then there are ways and means to get that data to give
okay.
the first level of authentication. And when somebody calls directly as a confidently and saying that I'm calling from this and I'm here to extend your card limit or anything, and you will soon receive an OTP, please let me know. So people are not geared up to receive this call.
Mm-hmm.
Either they never thought of these calls. So by default, we start with our transaction with a trust.
Right.
Yes. You will only when you see something wrong or suspicion or spreading, it's very limited that you will say, okay, no, this is something I have to be aware of.
Right.
Usually people go with the trust and then you will say, okay, he's genuinely calling me from a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then you receive an OTP. So there is a correlation done. Okay. So he called OTP. Yes, I got it. And he'll ask you OTP and maybe you are busy on something else and you say, oh, this is the OTP.
Right.
And then job is done.
Exactly.
So government, companies, they all came with all say, unless and until you have an OTP, you cannot make an online transaction.
Right.
All the Indian website and Indian transaction works in that manner. I'm not sure whether there are hardly any or, but there are sites outside India and some sites where they don't validate the OTP part of it.
Okay. Okay.
Now, how to protect? So somewhere there are, it's like a practice you have to build in as a do's and don'ts from a human behavior point of view. If somebody is really calling you and saying that I'm calling from this bank, first of all, you really think, why will somebody call you from a bank? And now I have seen many of these financial services and a bank, they have started sending these SMS.
Right.
Though there are still, now we have moved to other social media messaging. I don't know how many of us are actually really seeing those SMSs. But if you see those SMSs, talk about don't share your OTP. Nobody will call you. We'll never ask you for PIN or your CVV and all those details.
Right.
If you have read it, if you are geared up to that, then you will, but then at times you don't do that. And that's where, so one is that you really don't have to talk about these things on phone. Nobody will call you to ask your OTP. Mm-hmm. That's number one. It's a thumb rule.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you will see that some of these mobile numbers also you get a call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really go into detail, people, because nobody can trace them, they, with all means, whatever the number they have mm-hmm. taken the subscription, mm-hmm. they are calling not from a fixed location.
Right.
And some of these calls are from mobile number.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion to mobile number is the first thing which you have to really alarming, said why somebody is calling from mm-hmm. here. Mobile number or a very personal number
right.
to call from a bank. Bank will call from a banking number or a bank board line or something like that. So that's where something which we have to be ready. We should not be sharing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are also, we get these mails like phishing mail, which is very common. You suddenly have won a lottery and you have received this SMS. Just click on this link and your score will be high and you will get so much money and all those stuff. There is a free, so say suppose a new model of any phone has launched and they say if you click on this, send it to 10 people, your phone will be free.
Right.
And people go and do that. That's another touch point which is dangerous.
Okay.
The moment you click on those links which you don't even know or never expected, there are, now the high-tech part comes here. So right. you touch the normal human common behavior of, you know, and if I can use this very, I'm sorry to use that word, but the greed which everybody has
mm-hmm.
to get something free, you go and click that.
Right.
And the moment you click that, there is a malware or something which can get installed on your phone.
Right.
Or by the means of this, that clicking on the link, you are sharing some more information
mm-hmm.
there, which they ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You might find it that the site is quite authentic, but it's actually not the real site.
Mm-hmm.
So if we really go into detail, there are characters of say O or 1 which are not O or 1, but they are very similar looking in other language.
All right. Okay.
And we never able to find that. So okay. we find, okay, this is a genuine site, but it's actually taking to some other site
right.
and where they are capturing my sensitive data. They'll ask you to log in and put some details.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way which one should be avoiding. Okay. This is known as phishing. So you impersonate or you come out with a site which is not a real site and you take the individual there.
Right.
It could be any trigger.
What about these QR codes that, you know, sometimes you just walk into a store and you say, scan this QR code.
QR code is another example of the same thing.
Okay.
So it's like, what happens is when you scan the QR code, you don't even know what will happen on the QR code. But then QR code automatically opens a link in your browser and
right.
then something gets installed and then. Mm-hmm. So that's another way. My objective as a hacker, if I see, is to get access to your mobile device or a portable device and install something and control it.
Right.
So even when you are away from your mobile, if there is an OTP or SMS coming into picture, then I will get access and I can use that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where. So QR code, I'll give you another example, which is quite popular in the social media these days. I have came across is something called juice jacking. So like a lot of these public charging place, you have USB ports.
Right.
Some of these USB ports, maybe if it is a very, I would say, not a very authorized place or somewhere where there are chips or the way, one way you are thinking your mobile is charging, but actually you are giving access to your mobile also through either installing some software or that USB port has a set of ports where you transfer data also.
Okay.
So at the back, what is happening, you don't know. I mean, the easiest and the simplest, safest part is don't put in the USB port, but you take your charger along with you, and there are power sockets, you better use that.
Okay.
So that's another way of stealing the data.
Right.
So from the high-tech side, there are advancements going on. So we have QR code, we talk about the USB stuff, we talk about the OTP sharing and call. The other important, if I go further ahead, which is usually we see on the corporates are anyway geared up with that, is the dark web and deep web analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these, the internet, the dark web, when we call it, as which can only be browsed through certain types of browser, and we go inside and you can see certain data are available there, which you don't even know it was there. So companies are regularly checking that.
Okay.
I'll tell you, some of the time, the authentication mechanism on some of these sites are not very strong. So I'll give you my example. One of these e-commerce site, I wanted to buy and I was not able to log in. And suddenly when I went to the email, my email, and saying, why I'm not able to log in, do a forget password. And I get an email, and there was an email 2 hours back saying that as per your request, your email ID has been updated. I said, I never updated my email ID. Who did that?
Mm-hmm.
And the email ID, which was some phish thread, which was a new email ID. Then I called up the customer care, and it took me almost 12 hours to keep on telling them, no, this is an issue and all. Then all the authentication which they did just to prove myself that, yes, I am the right person, owner of this login, mm-hmm. and not the email ID which got changed through some hacking site or whatever.
Right.
It took me almost like 12, 14 hours.
Wow.
Saying that these are the purchases which I did, this is my credit card number which is there, this is my UPI ID, all those stuff. Then finally they got, okay, fine, yeah, this looks like a genuine customer. They are doing their job pretty good. But then the time taken, by the time he could have actually misused some sensitive data.
Exactly.
So you have to keep, there are do's and don'ts which companies are coming up with. Change your password regularly, keep a stronger password, don't write it anywhere, don't entertain any call. I'll tell you what, culturally, we are not geared up for this. This is where the behavior part I was talking about.
Okay.
So when you enter a mall, someone approaches you. Sir, I have a lottery or I have a, you know, something lucky draw for you. Can you give your mobile number and name?
Right.
You have shared your detail then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody calls you next day for something selling, and then you said, who gave you my number?
Mm-hmm.
You never realize in one of your weekend shopping yourself, and mall, you yourself gave that number.
Yes. In fact, there are these stores that even ask you to fill in your detail, like when is your anniversary and stuff like that. You know, should you even do that when you enter these stores?
See, I'll tell you what. now, if I say don't do anything, then at the same time saying, okay, if you're telling me to be, then I'm in a social media world. I want to share my anniversary. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to wish me mm-hmm. birthday and all those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to be very careful of to what extent you are sharing. You don't have to write your year of birth or year of anniversary. Just write the date, which is good enough. Everybody wishes you on your birthday. The entire world will know, and you yourself would like everybody to wish you. So, which is fine. But then there are people who have seen, they have written the year of birth, year of anniversary. They write the full address. And there are apps which I can further. So, if I do a quick social media analysis of your profile on various social media,
mm-hmm.
clubbed it with your, say, car number and some more apps,
mm-hmm.
clubbed it with your the visitor books which you have, and where do you stay, the courier the which is coming to you, the address there. I have to just take one statement missing from the 12 months of statement which you get is good enough for me to authenticate or impersonate mm-hmm. you anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are enough. Now, at every leg, we have to be just making sure we are giving it to the right person, and we have to question why the moment you are getting into that personal data sharing,
mm-hmm.
which is important. If, you know, I remember a few years back when you used to deliver the credit card or debit card at your place, the courier guy used to ask you the photocopy of your ID, right? Well, I think banks have stopped that, or some now they don't ask, or either you go to the bank. Suppose if you have to give your photocopy also of your ID card,
mm-hmm.
when you give your photocopy, you have to just write that this photocopy is being given
for
this particular purpose, and maybe you can just write a date. And write it in a place, if somebody wants to, you know, hide that part and do a photocopy again,
right.
you can very well make it out.
Okay.
This is a very simple practice.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you have just given, somebody else will copy it and use it.
Absolutely.
So there are, what I just want to reiterate is that the behavior and the practice needs to be. I mean, to the extent that I was sharing with in one of the forums that maybe in the, I posted in one of the social media site as well that maybe schools should be mandated to have a subject or a workshop on cybersecurity and do's and don'ts when it comes to these type of stuff.
Yeah.
This is a time where the new generations are brought up in the age of mobile and social media.
Absolutely.
They have not seen the fraud part or they don't even know these parts. We have seen the old world. We have seen the new world. We know this has gone wrong. This has gone right.
Yes.
They are building this. So it's important that we give a lot of education to the schools. So that's one is the thing which we should start doing. I mean, I keep on doing that in my free time. In my nearby society, I just call my son's friend and come on, let's do this and all. There are apps available. My son is using a phone. There is an app where I have installed in his phone. He cannot uninstall that app and I have full control of what he is doing, what he is browsing.
All right.
And obviously, till the time they are not 18 or 13, you can do all those stuff.
Yes.
But then these are the things which you have to take care of initially.
Absolutely. So, just to give our listeners a recap, yes, you need to protect yourself firstly. Identify who you are sharing your data with. Identify if the person is authorized to take what information that person is asking you for. And only then give your personal information to them. Right, Vishal. So, moving on to your mobile now. You have your mobile at hand. And what if I have... how do I save myself after some information from my phone has been leaked? For example, I did go and I, plugged in my mobile to charge at one of these booths and where I did not see if it was a charger that was plugged into the system or was it plugged into a laptop and they've stolen my data. So what should be done in such a scenario?
See, first of all, which I think is all the mobile handset, I mean, it's a time that you should have an antivirus on your mobile.
Right.
Or some sort of a malware detection tool. Mm-hmm. Now, that also, when the moment you go to the app store, you will send or a Play Store, whatever, you send a lot of malware detection tool. And some of them are actually malware and not a detection tool.
Okay.
So, you have to be careful. The source of that is equally important.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... I'm not saying this is right, this is bad, but then somewhere you have to apply your judgment in saying these are the authentic source and authorized one,
mm-hmm.
and let me install that. That's one interesting piece. You have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you are suspicious about certain data which has been leaked or somebody has hacked. The first thing is all the configurable part you go and update. So maybe your password you go and update. Maybe you want to go and change your password,
mm-hmm.
go back and see the audit trail or the log transaction of some of these websites and they give
they
you the details of your activities.
Right.
So maybe you can go and check that. So mm-hmm. that gives you, a comfort. Okay, nobody has done it and I'm fine. And then you are careful the next time.
Right.
So I think some of these things which you should take care of. Antivirus is something which definitely you should be. Don't leave your mobile unattended. That is the most important part.
Okay.
Usually people, if you are in a conference or in a public place and then you leave it, okay, please just make a note. I'm just going to the restroom and coming back. And that's good enough for somebody who is really interested to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You also, these days, our credit card and debit cards are NFC-based.
Right.
So, there are anti-skimming cards which are coming in the wallet, which you have to keep it as a protection because you don't have to insert the card in the POS machine.
Right.
You just
bring
the POS machine next to it and it gets, and that's another new fraud. So, that's
exactly.
what I'm saying. Technology is made to give you more facility, but then at the same time, we also use it or misuse it. The way I call it is, you should use, it is meant for use.
Mm-hmm.
As an individual, from our behavior pattern, we abuse, but there are people who misuse. So, there's a very thin line or it's a progressive line on use, abuse and misuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite interesting there. And it's definitely advisable that you keep changing your password regularly. You don't keep an easy password, a hackable password. You keep a very complicated one and you don't write it down anywhere. So now, Vishal, this is what an individual should do. But what about these companies where we are giving all our information willingly? We need to give them all these information. Yeah, like definitely. If I need to open a bank account, I need to give that bank each and every information, as in they'll have my Janam Kundli, if you can call it. And so how is my data protected by them?
Okay, that's very interesting. And in fact, you should trust these companies that they are on the top to take care of your data very well. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that because it's in their interest. One is that they are signing a contract, you are as a customer obligation towards you. That's mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, for them, they are big brands and they are in the process of building a brand or they are already a brand. These incidents of leakage in data really impact them badly. So right. for them, they are always, they want to do. And then, well, there are both, again, I said, people are trying all the ways to leak and other stuff for various reasons. Mm-hmm. But that is there. So, having said that, so one is the company, how they are protecting. So, because we all talk about data is the new oil and they are doing, and then they're using, the objective is to collect as much data is more to give you a best services or best experience or more customized or personalized service. Now, the moment you start giving customer personalized, there again, you are moving from a customer delight to customer irritation at times.
Okay.
You know, if too much of something will give you, okay, this is what right. you will say, okay, who told you? I'm not interested. You know, that type of stuff.
Right.
Now, in this case, there are, you are slightly moving to a different, I'll just divert the subject from security and data leakage to the privacy part of it,
mm-hmm.
which means the personal information so as to give you a customized service or personal, which as you said, your Janam Kundli is there,
mm-hmm.
something which you gave mm-hmm. and something which you generated by the virtue of availing their services.
Mm-hmm.
So all those data is something, there are guidelines and privacy initiatives which companies are doing. And I think there are global regulation. All the countries, most of the countries have their dedicated privacy regulations.
Right.
We all heard about GDPR coming into picture almost 1.5-2 years back.
Right.
And we are also seeing in Indian scenario, the India Privacy Bill or the draft data protection bill is
right.
in talks that it can be placed in the parliament anytime. Now, these regulations really help, taking care of your data. So it talks about that the data, there is a purpose when they collect. You agree to that purpose. You give consent to that purpose. And that purpose is only related to the service which you are going to avail from that company.
Right.
And the regulation clearly says that you will be processing this particular data or your data only for that purpose.
Okay.
Anything beyond that, they have to come back to you and take consent.
Okay.
If they are sharing with someone, not the same entity, but their business partner, they have to come and inform you that in order to provide you services, we have business partners who will also have access to your data.
Okay.
So those type of regulation, then you will say, okay, who all and all that. So there are regulation guidelines defined to that, which, so there are enough, I would say, guidelines, regulation, which they put in place so that your data is protected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are various means to protect it. Who is having access? Collect only that much which is required. Give access to the various teams only to the extent what is required for them to be used. And then if you are not required, then please delete it unless and until required for any other regulations or a legitimate business purpose. But then they need to inform you for that as well.
Okay.
So these are the one which broadly covered under the privacy regulation. So that's
okay.
there.
Okay.
From a security side, there are security measures, whether it's architecture or protecting the website or the database is secure in a secure militarized zone, demilitarized type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All those things also there. When the data is being transferred, data is being stored, there are security controls, encryption, masking. These things are built in in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them are required by the regulation. Sometimes regulation just defines the objectives. You have to decide what extent you have to implement these controls, because everything has a cost attached to it, and then obviously it sometimes becomes difficult to retrieve the data and all that.
Right.
But then that is the one more thing which you talked about is an impact analysis part of it, that you do the risk assessment, impact assessment, to what extent I have to protect the data. So there are these, and then I said the biggest thing which companies are doing are setting up the security monitoring facilities where they do real-time monitoring of the entire traffic which is going in and out of their infrastructure.
All right.
And then the dark web analysis, these are over and above. So it's There are various control, right from the simple to the high-tech stuff. And depending on the data which the companies are dealing, they are taking care of these things. So they are always looking at that. When breaches happen, there are hackers.
Okay.
Sometimes that.
But yes, in case I have shared all my information with a bank or with an insurance company, I mean, I can be rest assured that 90% my data is saved, safe. And maybe 10%, I could be concerned still that my data may not be safe despite all.
See, I really don't want to comment on the percentage part, whether it's 90% or 99%. I would love to comment saying it's 99.999% safe, because the intention is always to protect the data.
Right.
And that is something which is more important. And the breaches happen, and then, I mean, we all protect our houses, but still. There are times when the burglary happens and there are so many criminals.
Absolutely.
So this happens. I mean, it is nothing different from the physical world where you have all these things. I mean, just if you have touched upon that part, I would say companies are very much geared up on the technical side.
Mm-hmm.
There is the social engineering part, which is touching, I will say, the physical security. And do I really need to be so techy to steal the data?
Mm-hmm.
Or can there be other simple means of, you know, breaching the, say, extended ecosystem or trade, and then try to take the data from there.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I came across one incident when one of the guy called me and saying that for some financial services stuff. And I said, but you are calling from a bank where I've already said do not disturb and my phone number is there. How come you have called me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, sorry, sir. No. I went to detail and became friendly with him to ask him the details. He was a very enthusiastic guy. I said, no, in my previous role, in my previous company, I when I used to call, I had that data also. So when this data was done, I started my own, my repository, I started calling. I said,
wow.
You are a good graduate, postgraduate guy. Please don't do this. This is not allowed. Well, thank you so much, sir. I was not aware.
Okay.
So he was unintentionally doing that part.
Right.
So in order to meet his sales target, he was using the data from his previous job.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I have already committed and he could have, and the company would have landed and stuff.
Right.
So there are various reasons, not everything and everybody is wrong. But then there is one culprit which can definitely take care of the entire stuff.
Thank you so much, Vishal, for enlightening our listeners, or rather letting them know that how they can keep themselves safe online.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
With that, we wrap this episode of the TechMate podcast. In case you have any query or in case you have any suggestion, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.